It's Friday, August 23rd, and this is Two Guys Without a Clue. I'm Catatonic Cat with Dragaroo. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. How's it going?
Oh my god, it is great.
Fantastic, I'm glad to hear it.
It is the 19th Disney movie.
Oh yeah.
Can you believe it?
I can believe it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
It is pretty crazy, yeah.
Oh man, this is a good song.
It is. It's an excellent song.
Let's just listen.
Alright.
I think this is great. A man's red
fire. But I don't know how to make fire.
Now don't try to kid me, man cub. I made a deal with you. What I desire is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what to do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you.
This is like, this is the interlude, right?
Yeah.
So you have to improvise here, right?
There you go. You join me, Dragaroo?
Oh yeah, yeah, now I'm feeling
yeah?
It.
Makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Most of the songs in this movie, though.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So do we have to record a podcast, or can we just listen to music?
I mean, it really is kind of up to us at this point, right?
So what's he actually saying here?
Abba-dubba-dubba. I don't know. So according to that documentary we just watched, they recorded separately, right?
Separately.
And the second guy was just reacting to whatever that first person recorded, because originally he was supposed to be atheist.
Right, right. So it was supposed to go like, yeah. I was supposed to say Scooby Scooby, and then you were supposed to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I can't say any of that.
So he just made up a bunch of stuff on the fly.
It's just like,
you just like, felt it.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's impressive.
Oh, baby. So if you haven't guessed it by now,
we watched 101 Dalmatians again.
Oh, I totally thought we watched something else. Wait, did you just get a new picture on your...
Oh, yeah, I did. That actually came last week. Remember that auction I was talking
you
about?
You actually bought it?
Yeah, I may have placed a bid.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, there was this auction for animation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragaroo here...
Profiles in History was having an auction.
And Dragaroo just sent me the link. And
it had like 900 lots of stuff related to it.
Yeah, and a lot of Disney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I was like, oh, okay, I'll look at it. And I thought you were also just going to look at it. No, apparently you bought something. You want to describe what you bought?
I did, yeah. I bought an actual production cell from the Fox and the Hound.
Impressive.
Yeah, that happened. It's weird, though, because, I mean, well, you saw it, right? So it was an auction that happened somewhere in SoCal.
Yeah.
And so there's a live auction house there. There are people in that room, and there's a live auctioneer, and they're going. It was crazy. Like it literally went all day. Like I think it started like 10 o'clock, and at 6 or 7 o'clock is when this piece actually went up for sale. What it is, it's a sell of Todd as a cub, against no background. It actually came on this really it looked like a. It's animation paper, but it was very old, and
well,
so it
it's
was
a very
turned
old
like
movie.
Yeah, it was very like
so what,
brown.
1972 or something.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I was watching it for a while. It was like this is kind of crazy. This is kind of cool. Like, so if you, I register as a bidder, you give them your payment information, they validate it. And then what happens is they have a couple of people with paddles that will raise, they'll tell you what your paddle number is. And then these guys in the room will represent you. And there's this very like video game, like casinos type interface where you'd see this giant button that has the price, the current going bid for each item. You click on the button, someone in the room physically raises a paddle. And then it's like you're actually there. And so you're competing with people who are in the room, other internet buyers who have placed a bid in advance. You're competing with people who have placed a bid directly with the auction house. And so in that case, the auctioneer is actually representing them. So people in the room are competing with the auctioneer. And then you're competing with people on the phone. So it's just like mayhem. And it was really exciting.
And you won? How did you win? Like, did no one want to sell at 6 o'clock after the entire day? They're like, oh, I bought everything.
So, there were a couple of Fox and the Hound sells and that were being auctioned off at the
time. I wanted the Bambi ones.
I saw the Bambi one.
And they went up very high.
No, actually, the one, the pencil drawing, the storyboard drawing, actually went at the low price.
Well,
I think
it
only had the one bid.
So the storyboard drawing wasn't the best, right? If you wanted something, if I was to get a sell for Bambi just like you did, that was insane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was like $1,500
minimum.
Yeah,
no. Specifically, one of the reasons why I chose the Fox and the Hound is because it isn't one of the most, it's not one of the prime Disney features. Like, the stuff actually is affordable compared to everything else. Which is just not even worth considering.
Well,
at least on my budget.
I had two options. I was going to eat and pay rent. Or I was going to have an awesome Bambi. I don't know. It's an investment for the future. It was going to go up in price.
Okay.
Only.
Now here's the thing that I discovered about animation cells.
Yeah?
They're a pain in the ass. They are a liability. And because it's not a fixed medium. Like, okay. So last weekend, I spent the better part of the day figuring out how to... Okay. So... Right now, this cell is removed from the paper. There are, like, fibers in the back of the cell.
Why did you remove it from the paper, first of all? Why wouldn't you just put it with the paper? It seems like that's the logical way to mount this.
Well, the paper wasn't a background, really. It just was how it was stored.
Right, so wouldn't you just leave it as is? Like, don't touch it?
The contrast, I didn't really like how it looked. And it wasn't really stuck on it. To begin with, so it was...
Got it. So someone was like, we don't need these cells, and just put it in a book and put it away.
Yeah, essentially. And it comes flat-packed. Like, when I got it, it was weird, because it's in this giant box filled with... Like you could have... Like, it would be, like, this frame thing. But it's really just in a sleeve, and then on a hard back, and then there's a plastic bag around it, and then it has a price tag, which is, like, $400. So I guess what happened in the auction is, all these other separate art dealers are listing their art, submitting pieces that go to the auction house, and they have a minimum price that they're willing to, take for it. But the thing I found about the animation cells is, so first of all, there's ink on the front, so the line art is on the front of the cell, and the paint is on the back of the cell, so you can't touch either part of it. The cell is extremely fragile itself. You can't You're not supposed to touch it with your hands. Like, it's very brittle. Like,
I mean,
it
you're
can
supposed to
break
do cloth,
and scratch
right?
very easily. Yeah, you're supposed to wear like white gloves when you're handling.
Right. So, do I need to buy you white gloves?
If you want, yeah, sure. I'm gonna be okay. I'll be okay with that. Right. The other thing is, when you're, it's not so the material that it's printed on the is not fixed. Like, it will change over time. It will stretch. It will, adhere and bleed into background. So in order to get it in that frame, I actually did, it's like this edge, basically it's like floating in this pocket.
Of glass?
No, I built like these corners from the Bristol board. So it's like there's a socket on, they're basically, it's not a edge mounted thing, but it's basically just sitting in this piece. Which is on each corner, there are pieces of Bristol board which have been cut in half into 1-inch slices that have been folded into 1/2-inch slices and then threaded through each other. So it's not, there's no adhesive on the cell itself. And then It's surrounded by two mat boards. So there's one mat board, which is an 8-ply mat board that's non-acidic for archival material because acid materials can react with the actual cell plastic itself. Oh, also, you can't trim the cell at all because that diminishes the value of the cell. So there are two inverted mat boards. One is 8-ply, one is 4-ply. So that this is the cell is literally suspended like in between these two mat boards, and then there's air in between that. The backboard is acid-free, like mat board. The glass is acid-free and also has a UV protective layer on it. It was a giant, giant pain.
So
this is not a good investment. Like, actually keeping this stuff in good shape, like, it wasn't designed like that.
No, so it sounds like you're now the proud owner of lots of work for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, so the other thing is, so the thing emits gas.
Yes.
And so every once in a while, every few months, you're supposed to open up the frame to release that. Alternatively, some people recommend that you really should just like remat and reframe the whole thing every once in a while. So, that's been my adventures with collecting the animation cells. So that's kind of the beginning and the end of it.
If you have any tips on how to do this, please contact Drag Group because he needs your help. Two.
Oh, no, I can provide tips on doing this because I'm not an experienced frame runner. Here. Right. Here's some general advice.
Don't buy
on
a
animation cells. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
But actually, I would love to see a post on this. Like, I think you should totally make like this entire blog post of...
Yeah, I guess I could. Because the other thing that I found is, you know, everyone recommends all the steps, all the... There's conflicting information, of course, because there's conflicting information. Because it's the internet. Of course there is.
Wait, there's only one answer on the internet?
And you know, so I saw different materials from different, like, frame, you know, people who do this for a living, right?
But, I mean, why wouldn't you frame this exactly you would frame, like, the Mona Lisa? Like, what would be the difference?
Oh, there'd be no difference. I wouldn't want to frame the Mona Lisa either. That sounds terrifying.
No, but I mean, like, what the art world has done for many, many years, wouldn't you frame it exactly the same way?
Sure, for a valuable piece of art. Yeah.
So you're saying that we should go to the Disney Museum and ask them exactly how we should frame this? Because they might tell you more information on how to frame this. Because they are framing them.
Yeah, but... They have money, dude.
Right. So what we do is we steal their frame.
The challenge is to do it on a budget, considering that I've already spent hundreds of dollars on the cell itself. I'm not particularly interested in spending hundreds of dollars on the frame.
I mean, don't you have to spend at least 50% worth of the cell just to like keep the value of the cell?
The idea is to do it as cheaply as possible while diminishing the value of the work as minimally as possible. Because the moment you touch the thing, it's, you know, it's dropping in value, right?
Minute you opened it, it was gone.
Yeah, so, you know, you just deal with that at some point. But I can't afford, with good conscience, you know, fork out the amount it cost me to buy that thing on a frame or to have it framed correctly. So, I did the best I could, and I'm just glad it's not one of those more coveted cells, because that would...
So is there a reason why it is leaning crazy. More towards the left than the right?
Yes.
It's not centered? Is that because the way the cell was designed?
Yes.
Or is that because you couldn't frame it correctly?
No, it's framed correctly. It's how the mat was designed. I discovered that after I opened it.
Oh.
But it kind of works out.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Yeah. I just thought maybe you chose to frame it that way because that's how the cell was, because there should be more... There was, like, a lot more things going on, like, white space on the right-hand side of the cell.
Yeah, so the cell right now, it's booked all the way to the left edge of the frame.
I would say it's justified left, probably 4 inches on the left and 6 inches on the right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's about right.
Right, and it is dead center from
of that,
vertical.
Yeah. And, so that wasn't my original intention, but...
No, it looks really good because you assume there should be a character to the right.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what you were going for.
Yeah, no, that was exactly what I was going for, Catatonic Cat. Thank you for noticing.
Right, I'm just saying, like, I think you have the fox.
Yeah.
I assume the hound should be... What, is this scene the one where he's looking up on a
I think
log?
It's like in the... And the log? Maybe.
The hound is on the right on the log, up.
What confused me about this is it's dark. Darker than I expected. And I don't know whether that's because the materials have faded, which I don't think is true because I've seen other cells.
But isn't it because the character itself is dark and then based on the background itself, is it lighted
up? I'm pretty sure that's what the case is. So I don't know exactly where in the picture this happens. So when we roll around in that movie,
we will get back to this.
I will be but very
speaking of the
see.
Color contrast, right? We're looking at this cell and you say it's really dark.
Yeah.
But the movie that we just saw, Jungle Book, I would say the characters, all of them are dark, right? There's a very big tone of just having this dark contrast, a lot of blacks.
Yeah.
A lot of dark, deep browns.
Yeah, Bagheera, the, what is Bagheera? The panther, yeah.
He's purely black.
Yeah, it's like when we're watching it on my TV, and my TV was like, it's just like a black blob at some point. kind of a hard time dealing with that. But yeah, the all around, there's a very kind of, not really brooding color quality or color palette, but much richer, much higher contrast than some of the other ones, on some of the other pictures we've seen lately, at least.
Yeah. It has an interesting animation style, and we were watching that documentary, and they said Disney wanted to really focus on the eyes. And I think it was very clear that because they set it in this forest, and they set the characters to be a lot darker, I mean, Baloo is a very deep blue. Bagheera is purely black.
Mm-hmm.
Mowgli is a brown kid.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
I believe that's the PC way to describe
it. I'm allowed to say that. I'm allowed to say that. I'm a brown man myself. I'm allowed to say any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely, yeah, it was, as they said, a thinking character movie, not a slapstick action like you need a lot of movement. It was all in the eyes and the facial expression.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of Disney movies do, well, they talk about, I forget what the exactly term they coined, but it was like the kind of baby proportions where you have...
big eyes, yeah, a large forehead.
Yeah.
And you got away with that.
Yeah.
You got away with that in Bambi. Dumbo. And the early film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the eyes have like always been like hugely prominent, and especially with this movie in particular.
Well, I think this way you don't have much color to concentrate on, so the eyes just become the drawing factor.
And because so much of it is pantomime as well, like that is the way that stuff is communicated.
No, this is it is very cool. I liked the movie a lot. Yeah. The animation style was different than the Sword in the Stone.
yes, it was.
I would say Sword in the Stone was slapstick humor.
Mm-hmm.
This was a movie.
That's a little bit dismissive.
No. Not like it's like that wasn't a movie.
Uh-huh.
I would say this was more of a, like, let's go film this on set. And if they replaced all the animal characters with humans, you could get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a much more... It did have a much more theatrical quality to it.
Yeah.
For sure. Some context on this, though. So this movie was released in 1967, right? Quite a ways away from The Sword in the Stone. This was actually 4.5 years after The Sword in the Stone, which is...
Roughly the amount of time they took to make this movie. Right? They said about 3 years.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, when you think about it, like... That's the same amount of time like between now and when The Princess and the Frog came out. So I mean, and there are no other like animation studios kind of vying for that slot, right?
Yeah,
Disney was the only game in the time at the time. So
if you go through and we were looking at from the 1940s, we were like bang, 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 bang movie almost every year, every 2 years. Then we hit the 60s.
Yeah.
And we had a couple movies come out and it was good, and we were getting a role. And now we just went like, okay. Let's take our time.
Yeah.
We have the audience. We have the money. And this movie made tons of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So 101 Dalmatians was very profitable, very, very popular. Sword in the Stone, not so much. This one, however, partly because there was such a long bank where there was nothing happening.
Yeah.
And because I believe also because of the Winnie the Pooh shorts were happening at the same time. Actually, they mentioned that the guy was the voice of Christopher Robin, the guy who plays the voice of Mowgli.
Well, so was the actor, right. The director. The director of this film did the first shorts.
Right.
So basically, if you haven't noticed or haven't seen the movie in a long time, is Sterling Holloway, who we've mentioned many, many times as being Winnie the Pooh, the Cheshire Cat. He's very iconic. He doesn't really change his voice. The same voice.
Yeah, totally.
He was Winnie the Pooh, too. So the interaction between them felt natural, I think, because they did do the Christopher Robin Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. But because of that period in which there was nothing happening, there was a lot of anticipation for the film. And as you said, when it actually hit the scene, it blew up. It was extremely successful. And I feel like that was very, very much warranted. I mean, this is a great film. This is probably one of the best films that the studio has put out to date. What are your opinion?
I like it. I think I really like the animal movie a lot.
Yeah.
I would say I think partly because you don't have that the ease to just rely on, oh, it's a human, I can relate to it.
Yeah.
They really spend time saying, okay, well, it's not a human.
Yeah.
We have to bring you in somehow and for you to relate to these characters, give them personality. I think you get away with it easier by just drawing a couple different humans. But, I mean, if you look at the 101 Dalmatians movie, too, they really spent time and gave those dogs character.
Yeah.
Right?
I think one of the appeals for me with these kind of films is it forces, in a sense, it kind of forces creativity, right? Like, you can't have all these creatures move the same. You're just not going to buy it. It's like, you can't have just, like, people walking around that happen to have fur. It doesn't work. And these characters aren't like standing on twos, right? They all are moving. Well, I guess with the exception of Blue. Yeah,
but some don't have legs, like Ka.
Yes, that's also true. And when you think about that, I'm like, you don't question the actions that he's doing. Like, see that it's completely like motivated through the entire, like through, well, I was going to say his spine, but through his entire body. It's acting as one physical object.
It's fluid.
Yeah.
He is a snake.
Yeah.
Ka, the animation for Ka is one of the most fluid animations I've seen in a long time.
And it's exactly what it needs to be for a character like that. So, yeah, it was just incredible.
King Louie, uh-huh. The proportions,
uh-huh.
They're awesome. Like, yeah. Those are orangutan arms. That is an orangutan.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
If an orangutan knew how to play some jazz,
that would be him.
Do a little scat.
Yeah.
It would be King Louie.
Yeah. Let's back it up a minute and let's walk through it really quickly. So the Jungle Book, the Disney version of the Jungle Book,
is nothing like the book.
Granted.
No. We were listening to this documentary, mm-hmm. And basically, so the first guy that did the script basically took the book and translated the story a little bit more and made something that would be fit for animation. And Disney was irate, it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, this is not going to work. So he brings in his trusted members from various projects and teams and says, have you read The Jungle Book? And everyone basically said nothing.
No.
No, they didn't say anything. They didn't raise their hands, nothing.
Oh, so you think they like didn't admit to it?
Yeah, well, that's what they said. They didn't do it, right? Even if they did, would you admit to it? Maybe you wouldn't. What would you say? And one of the composers, what's his name?
Was it Alan Sherman?
Alan Sherman.
One of the Sherman brothers.
The Sherman brothers.
Yeah.
Who, incidentally, did Mary Poppins.
Right.
Which will be great.
Which he just came off of, actually.
Which is going to be great because we're going to watch the Saving Mr. Banks movie this winter. So I'm looking forward to if they hint at the Jungle Book at the end of that.
I don't think so. But
that would be cool.
Sure, yeah. Keep
some meta-ness. I don't know. I'm dreaming. If it's not too late, edit in post, guys. Edit in post. And he basically says, good,
mm-hmm.
Well, don't read it. And this is how the story should go. So basically he says, well, what I suspect is he liked the character names.
Yeah.
And he likes what they represented. And said, well, we need the guy. We have some villains. We have some good characters. Let's go from point A to point B and just have some adventures on the line. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Which is not the book.
What surprised me about that particular retelling is, I guess I was never quite clear on how involved Disney was in the studio itself. Like, I know that he attached himself, like, to everything, and like, he was a huge driving force, like, in everything, right? In the creation of the film. But it wasn't clear to me that, like, he was literally calling all the shots. Like, that I was surprised by. I figured that, you know, at a certain point, you've got a system that works, you delegate.
Yeah, but I think some of that, so when, I think when a lot of that came out, when, not Cinderella, not Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, mm-hmm. right? I think he was drained by Sleeping Beauty. And I think you see it, right?
Yeah.
You see, I think his involvement kind of waned. He went to a lot more of the...
Which might have explained that first treatment then that was scrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like, I think he saw the first treatment, he's like, uh-oh. This thing's going off to the handlebars. This is not Disney anymore.
I'm not sure if it was exactly around this time, but, you know, with stuff like Mary Poppins, he was starting to get a lot more interested in doing, like, live action stuff,
right? And then he was a lot more interested in the parks. So, like, I think his aunt, I think he was still very involved in, like, the overall direction of the animation, but not as day-to-day. Like, I don't think he came in and says, okay, well, let's go over these scripts.
Right.
But then when he went over the script for The Jungle Book, he basically was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah, even still, he had, like, he basically stopped the film and was like, no, this is not what we're doing.
Get out of here. Next writer.
Yeah.
So, and they wrote songs, right? They had songs totally written.
Yeah.
And The Bare Necessities was for that version of that movie.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah.
Right? So there's an entire other movie that we could have watched that was more like the book.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't have been Disney. I agree with Disney on this one.
Oh.
Like, it's not a Disney animated film. It's a very dark film. It's a very life lesson type movie. It is very Peter Pan. If you took Peter Pan and Jungle Book and you kind of looked at them about how they're learning lessons and growing up and things like that, they're two movies, two books that are good for that aspect, but I don't think they translate well. I would have liked more of that to be translated to this, but I can see where it's hard to get lessons across.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what actually did end up being the movie then. The movie is about Mowgli, who is a boy that was literally raised by wolves.
And he was. In the book, he's raised by wolves.
He's abandoned, I guess, initially. He's found by Bagheera in the movie.
And not in the book. In the book, Shere Khan comes and hunts in the forest. And
You see Shere Khan, like, straight away.
And Shere Khan is the main...
He's the villain, like, throughout this movie, but you don't see him until, like, the back half of it.
No, he is in the first chapter. He's basically, Shere Khan is back. And he is not a good villain.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The reason he's attacking humans... So he attacks humans. Is because he's a lame lion. He's a lame tiger.
Oh.
He has a broken foot type thing. He's not very fast. Everyone made fun of him. So he's not a very strong, like, tiger.
Okay.
And he attacks and Mowgli comes, like, runs into the jungle and ends up being protected by the wolves. And the wolf says, oh no, this is one of our cubs. And they kind of, like, support it. And then Shere Khan's like, it's not your cub. And they said, we'll take it up with the pack leaders. Go to the pack leaders. And they're like, someone going to vote this man cub into the pack. And it can't be the father. It can't be the mother. It has to be the other people. Other wolves. Not people. And then this is where both Bagheera and Baloo step up and say, we vouch for this man cub.
Mm.
So Baloo is not as... he is not anything like his character in the movie.
Okay.
Baloo is a very... He is the teacher. He is the all-knowing Baloo.
Okay. So he's more of a... he is...
Wise.
He's like Merlin.
No.
He's not an instructor like that.
He is an instructor.
Oh.
He is the one that teaches... the wolf cubs about the jungle.
Okay.
He teaches everyone about that.
All right.
So, totally different. But I think at that point, with even the setup
being totally different, I think at this point we can get rid. We don't have to discuss the book at all. I think we should just discuss the movie because there's a clear distinction. They didn't really use anything but the character names and kind of somewhat of the plots. Like, there are elephants, there's Ka, there's things like that. But the interactions with Mowgli and these characters is totally new.
Okay.
For the movie.
Okay, cool. So, like I was saying, Mowgli is raised by wolves. Or, no, wait, I'm going back to the... going to circles now. Mowgli is abandoned and is found by Bagheera in the movie. Bagheera is, I guess, like, takes pity on him. I guess that's the reason why he picks him up. Like, he runs into him, this baby in a basket, and is like, I'm not gonna... this somebody else's problem.
Right, and he's like, oh, well, there's no man village nearby.
Yeah.
God, I gotta do something. This guy's gonna die if I don't do anything. Okay, well, there's some wolf cubs. And they just had cubs. Well, he can at least get some nourishment there. But I really think he was like, well, this could be a stopgap. Maybe I'll take him back sometime.
Yeah, Bagheera essentially finds Mowgli a foster family. And kind of believing that, you know, that would be the end all of the situation. But when the wolves convene and they discover that Shere Khan is on the prowl, that he's in this part of the jungle, they decide that he's too much of a liability at this point. So the father wolf has been instructed to let go of him, right? Because he's a danger to them all.
No, he's not a danger. Well, he's a danger because Shere Khan is going to hunt him down.
Right. Yeah, that's why they don't want him being raised with them anymore. Like, the leader of the pack doesn't say, he's not the one who instigated the movement to get him back into the man's village, right?
No, he just wants him gone. Get him out of the pack.
Yeah. And so at that point, Bagheera, who's been sitting on the sidelines, intervenes and says, I'll take him off your hands, and I'll take him back to the village of man where he belongs. And that's where the movie kind of begins, right?
That's the story.
So Mowgli is being transported by Bagheera, kind of unwillingly, well, more than kind of unwillingly, to the man village. And in the process, he protests. He kind of rebels against Bagheera because he wants to be, you know, because the jungle life is all he knows, right? And he doesn't really aspire to meet other people because he, like, has no frame of reference for that. And that's something that, you know, he complains to Bagheera that, you know, I can fend for myself. I don't need you to fend for me. And he runs into Baloo at that point.
A little teenage angst.
Yeah, yeah, entirely.
Like, hey, man, I know what life's about. I'm ready for this. Exactly how I would say it.
Yeah. And so I guess, actually, no, he doesn't run into Baloo at this point. He runs into Shere Khan, who becomes kind of this...
He does not run into Shere Khan.
Oh, not Shere Khan. What's the snake's name? Ka, yes. Ka. He runs into Ka.
You want to say Shere Khan because of Khan, the villain for Star Trek?
Yes.
Yeah.
He runs into Khan.
And this is where Spock dies.
Yes.
Right? Sorry, spoiler alert.
Too soon.
Too soon? 40 years is 30 years is too soon?
Yeah, well, you know, some people. Anyway. Yeah, so what is Ka's motivation? Ka just wants to eat him, right? That's the beginning of it.
Ka's here to, like, hey, man, I'm a snake.
Yeah. He's not inherently evil. He's
hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry. That's the beginning and the end of his story.
What would you do in that situation? What would you do?
Yeah, so ultimately, they defeat the snake, right? Well, they thwart the snake, and because he has this uncanny ability to hypnotize his prey, but they're able to outwit him and get away from that. And the cat, whose name is Bagheera,
yes,
tries to turn that into a lesson. Say, so this is why you need to get out of here. You know, this place is not for you. But Mowgli rebels, and ultimately Bagheera is like, fine, good luck, and he leaves. And at that point, like, Mowgli runs into Baloo, who is the perfect, like, anti-role model for Mowgli, in the sense. He, like, when they run into each other, like, Mowgli is starting to fit, right? And it, and initially, like, he's just like, you know, back off, you know, stop messing with me. And Blue is just kind of like, well, what the heck is this kid doing? So he ends up just, like, play fighting him and basically just kind of ridiculing him until he says, hey, listen, kid, if you want to survive here, you've got to do what I say. You've got to be a bear. And ultimately, Mowgli becomes enamored by this idea and decides to emulate Baloo in every possible way, which is ridiculous, primarily because of, well, as kind of emphasized by the huge contrast in their size, right? Baloo is this towering mammoth, just like three times the size of Mowgli.
He's like, he can eat them. Eat them.
Yeah.
And it would be like an appetizer.
And Mowgli is pretty self-confident. And he sees no reason why he can't, you know, ultimately grow up to be a bear. So he's totally on board with this idea and this lifestyle.
He's like, that Baloo's why selling. Can't I be a bear? I walk on two, he walks on two. He sings, I could sing.
Yes. And so, to make a long story short, they end up in trouble again, right? They run into King Louie, the king of the orangutans, who is a...
King of the Hmong apes.
King of the apes.
He's the only orangutan.
Oh, I guess you're right, yeah. That automatically,
by definition.
By default, he becomes the king of the apes. Because the orangutan is at the top of the monkey food chain in this world.
Yeah, the other ones seem like rhesus macaque.
Which
are Indian macaque.
Monkeys. Oh, okay. Okay, so it's accurate. Excellent.
No.
Oh, it's not.
It's not. Okay. But it is. They do that. They hang around temples and stuff like that. Steal food.
Oh, then it is accurate.
Yeah. They do exactly.
Okay, then. So
go to India.
Yes, go to India. And then what happens? They dance,
and then we got that awesome song.
Yes.
Then the temple ruins break down.
They collapse.
And then basically Bagheera and Baloo have this heart-to-heart. Look, they talk all night.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know what? Can't do this. Why not? He's a bear, just like me. He's a man. Go give him back. He's like, okay. And then they're about to do this. And then the next morning, Baloo basically takes Mowgli and walks. Says, you know, we're going on an adventure, and I got to take you back. And Mowgli has none of it. He just runs off.
Right.
Then we finally meet Shere Khan.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Like
he's talked about by everybody.
Yeah.
But
he's feared by everyone.
Yeah.
His name just like chins. Oh, we don't want to deal with him. Oh, let's do everything we can to not interact with this guy.
Uh-huh.
This is where we end up saying like the elephants come back. They help out.
Oh right, I missed the elephant.
You missed the entire elephant scene. That's okay. There are elephants. They're hilarious. They're not Dumbo. Even though they're...
Well, they're kind of Dumbo. Colonel's wife definitely is.
She was in Dumbo.
Yes.
She is the head elephant, I think, in the Dumbo.
Yes.
And the elephants are pretty hilarious. Pretty much their goal is just to destroy the jungle.
Yeah. They're very good at it too. Yeah. You know, if you don't kind of pay attention to I guess what they're saying, it's pretty clear by what they're doing. They're just kind of destroying everything. Everything that's in their path gets devastated, and they're very proud of their handiwork. But yeah.
Oh, she voiced Fred Flintstone's mother-in-law.
Okay. Wow.
And she was a fairy godmother in Cinderella.
Right. Which one was she?
It doesn't say. She in Cinderella, the fairy godmother.
Oh, the father. Okay, yeah.
In Sleeping Beauty, she was Flora.
Oh, really? So she wasn't Sleeping Beauty, too. That's what I was thinking.
She was also in Alice in Wonderland as Queen of Hearts. And she was in Lady Tramp as Aunt Sarah.
She was
Sarah.
The Queen of Hearts? Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the career.
He was the elephant matriarch. Miss...
Yeah, I was going to say...
She's Mrs. Jumbo.
She did seem like... Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huh.
So, she has been in so many movies we've seen.
Yeah.
So, crazy.
This is perfect.
Oh.
And, she, you know, she was really...
She died the day before Walt Disney died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Crazy. That's sad.
That is sad.
Huge, wow, crazy. He was on Abbott and regular on the Abbott and Costello show.
Huh?
Oh, man. She would have loved our Who's on First rendition. Dragu has nothing.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she would have.
But, yeah, and this is, we finally see Shere Khan, and he reminds me of another cat. A villain cat.
Oh, Figaro, cat. Right?
Figaro.
Yeah.
Figaro.
Yeah.
That guy is an evil guy. No, I'm talking about the Lion King.
He does remind me of the Lion King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's totally Simba.
Yeah. I am 100% with you.
Yeah. He just wants to be king.
Uh-huh. yep. Yeah. 100% behind that. The thing about Shere Khan was awesome, dude. Like, he was topped up the entire time. It was like, how menacing can he be?
He's pretty awesome.
But his voice is...
He had that British
amazing.
Accent.
Amazing.
That deep British accent.
Yeah. That was... Who was that guy? That guy has to have been in other stuff. Because he has, like... That's like the almost like he's like a go-to voice. He's got to be, but it's super cool. Like he's ultra like self-confident. Like his move, the way he's animated, he's very very deliberate and slow and powerful.
All right, his name is George Henry Saunders.
George Henry Saunders,
not Colonel Saunders.
Oh well.
So he was in, let's see, what do we got? What kind of movie? What would you know? That's what I have to figure out.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem, right? I'm looking at movies that you might know.
But he was in many movies?
Many, many movies.
Yeah, I can certainly buy that.
Real movies, not just animation. Real movies. Live action one. Let's see. He started his career back in 1929. Oh, man. Do I know any of these movies? That's another question.
I don't know. What are some of these movies?
The House of the Seven Gables.
Okay.
Tales of Manhattan. The Black Swan. The Moon and Sixpence. All About Eve.
Movies from the 50s or
60s? Yeah, 50s, yeah.
Okay.
Hold the Line. Ivanhoe. I've heard of Ivanhoe. I haven't seen it. King Richard and the Crusaders. Witness to Murder. The King's Thief, Scarlet Coat, Never Say Goodbye, The Seventh Sin, From Earth to the Moon, Cone of Silence.
Oh, yeah, that kind of thing you put
on.
The
Billionaire, Trunk to Cairo, The Best House in London, The Kremlin Letter, Psychomania. He was on Mission Impossible, the TV series.
Huh.
He was Mr. Freeze in Batman in 1966. Wow. Crazy.
The TV show?
Yeah. Don't you remember that TV show?
Yes. I don't remember Mr. Freeze, though, but weird.
Yeah. He's all over the place.
Yeah, apparently. But
he's in movies, Broadway.
He is a character with presence. Like, he... has what when he talks like you want to listen to him. He's that kind of guy. And I thought that was incredible. He was a very, very good villain in that regard.
Yeah. I would agree. Mr. Freeze. 1966.
All right.
Oh. Okay. It's that accent.
Yeah.
great accent. So he gets, he shows up, and like Ka is clearly, he has Mowgli at this point.
Mm.
Tries to trust him, and at this point has him in his grasp and is about to eat them. And Shere Khan just, oh, what is this snake doing? Let me go check up on it. Maybe he saw this man cub. And pretty much destroys Ka's plan of actually like eating Mowgli.
Yeah.
Not for like, not on purpose. Like, he's like, okay, I don't. Why would you lie to me? Everyone's afraid of me. You wouldn't lie to me. Oh, I'll believe you. But
yeah, the Mowgli is just this, in this stage where he just doesn't care.
Yeah, he's like, I have no friends, and yeah, why am I here?
He's like totally emo.
He is the first emo kid.
Yeah.
He went, if he knew what goth was, he was there.
Yeah, he was the originator. He was the OG.
Mowgli, the OG.
Yes.
Represent. Oh, man.
He was to blame. So he gets out of that situation somehow. I forget how. How does he get out of this
pure
situation?
Pure luck.
Oh, yeah, pure luck. Right. He doesn't outwit him or anything?
No.
I completely forgot about this interaction. Like, he meets him in the field, like, dead on, right?
Yeah.
And he gets away somehow. And then what happens? The buzzards happen? Or is this after the buzzards?
Before the buzzards.
Or not buzzards, the vulture.
Yeah, the beetles?
Yeah, the beetles, the quasi, the well, they call them like a, what, like a mop top van or something?
Well, yeah, the beetles.
Yeah.
the mop top Liverpool British invasion?
Yes.
Which is the Beatles?
We did a barbershop quartet.
Instead of a Beatles rendition.
Yeah, which is probably for the best. Yeah. I don't know. That particular segment when they run into the buzzards, the vulture. What are buzzards? Are buzzards vultures?
I think
so. Are
they
a different kind of bird? Am I crazy?
Why wouldn't buzzards be vulture?
I don't know. Why would they be?
What would be vultures? A buzzard? What do you think a buzzard is?
It's a vulture-like bird, right?
What is the... I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not really.
The buzzard is one of several large birds.
Yeah,
see, number of meanings are detailed below.
A turkey vulture. What is a turkey vulture? Are those turkey vultures? Turkey vultures are like these big, gawky, like ugly birds.
There is an actual species called the common buzzard.
A common buzzard?
The long-legged buzzard, the rough-legged buzzard.
What kind of buzzard were these? Or were these buzzards at all?
There's the jackal buzzard, the archer buzzard, the red-necked buzzard, the upland buzzard, the Madagascar buzzard, the mountain buzzard.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what these mean. The black... Oh, these are weird names of buzzard.
The black what?
Buzzard.
That is a pretty weird name.
No, these look like... These do not look like vultures.
Oh, okay. So, it's a vulture, not a buzzard. Is that the consensus?
I think so.
Or the consensus that we have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I think that's commonly known.
That's already a known fact.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Turkey vulture looks like this.
Yeah, that could be a turkey vulture. So it would be a buzzard. See, I knew that was talking about all around.
This is a black vulture.
Oh, yes. That is a... For the viewers at home, I am looking at a picture of a buzzard.
So there's a clear distinction between what the old word buzzard means, which is more like raptors, and the new word, which means vulture, new world.
Okay.
So clearly they use the new world.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we got that clarified for the listener.
Well, we had to.
Yeah, no, that's our duty.
Right. And so these are some pretty cool buzzard vultures.
This is the only part of the film, and I guess it was kind of by design, that was too slow for me. Like, I felt like everything ground to a halt at this point.
So would you have liked to seen the sequence?
No, I don't want to see the actual, I don't want to see, what's his name? Was it
Rocky
the
rhino? Yeah.
Or I don't want to actually see the actual Beatles song performed by the buzzard. I don't think those are better treatments, but
would you cut this part out then? Just leave out the buzzards?
Almost. Yeah, almost. And I get that, you know, it propels them to the next, scene, right? And it is a good respite from all the action that happened that you just got away from. I'm sure.
I liked it.
Because this happened immediately after the ruins fell, right?
No.
This happened immediately after his second encounter with Ka?
Yes.
That's what I said, yeah. You're on the tape, check it.
Rewind.
This happened immediately after his interaction with Baloo.
Rewind again.
This happened immediately after he was raised by wolves.
Fast forward.
This happened immediately after he was raised by Ka. And you know, before he was eaten in another life. Yeah.
You mean alternate dimension?
Yes.
Got it.
I'm talking about the expanded universe of the Jungle Book.
You mean the second Jungle Book?
Yes. A New Hope.
No.
Oh, sorry. Was that the fourth one?
That's the sixth.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know that famed film was being remade.
Which one?
A Jungle Book, The New Hope.
Oh, by whom?
I believe it's like R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, this Tolkien guy. I don't know about him.
he's a really pretty good director.
Okay. Okay.
But I digress. Go on.
Okay. I liked it only because it actually progressed the storyline of having a good song for him to believe in friends again. Like, yeah. I don't think you could easily get him to, like, try to... Like, you couldn't cut out the vultures completely and progress from Ka eating him to try to get eaten by Khan.
Khan?
Khan.
Yeah.
Shere Khan.
Yeah. But... Did it have to be a barbershop quartet?
What would you have liked better? The Beatles version?
I would like... No, we've already established that.
Right.
No, no Beatles. I think, I don't know, like it seems like...
Okay, so look at the stylings of this movie, right?
It seems like something that would have worked better in a different era. Like, it just, like, but...
Would you have liked a jazz number?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you have liked a Motown number?
Yes, I would.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah? A Motown?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. This movie is kind of weird musically when you think about it. It's kind of weird that it works.
Right, because I would say...
So that kind of feels like you would almost be jumping the ship. But then again, I'm comparing it to a barbershop quartet, so it's like, what? Kind of did.
So you wouldn't have a Motown? Like a classic Motown foursome?
Sure, I could... I would enjoy that more. I think. Would it fit?
Like, if you would have, what's a good classic Motown force?
The Temptations?
Yeah. Would you have the Temptations?
Sure. Sure. Why not? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yes, I would have the Temptations over whatever that was.
Any particular song that you would like them to sing?
My Girl.
You think My Girl would be a good rendition for this?
Yes. I think it perfectly describes the plight of Mowgli.
No. At the end, yes, but not now.
It's foreshadowing.
Yeah. How about Papa Was a Rolling Stone?
What is that song about, though?
It's not a good song.
It's not a good song?
Well, it's not.
It's a pretty good song. I just don't know what it's about.
I don't know what Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Just My Imagination?
Sing me a few bars.
I don't ask me to sing. We've had requests for me not to sing on this.
I don't care. I want to hear it. I can't judge it. I can't give you comments if I don't know how it goes.
Okay. This is how it goes.
I don't. Where is it? When does it start? This is perfect. Because Mowgli's on top of the world right now. You know, she has this beautiful woman that he's going to meet in the future. Actually, though, seriously? That's a slow song? That kind of thing would be perfect.
I think actually it could have been, like, if they didn't do the barbershop quartet, I think a Motown number where you had these four vultures come in and kind of sing with Mowgli, and like they just kind of like they did their thing.
I don't know that a song was necessary. Well,
a song was necessary, but I don't think a barbershop quartet song was necessary.
And to be fair, it was fine. Okay, like I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying it was a weird choice.
Well, we can go meet the guy.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll meet one of the brothers and tell him, can you redo this Motown number?
Yes. Sounds like a perfect plan.
Dude, that would be awesome. That's what comes out. Yeah. So I think a Motown number would have been cool. I could see why they did the Beatles too.
Yeah, I think it's better. I think this version is far preferable. That's such a... That locks it into pop culture in a way. And whatever, the Beatles are huge. I don't care. I would rather have a Motown group.
You know, the Beatles' last concert was at Candlestick Park ever.
That's great. Sorry, I'm not a huge Beatles fan. They're okay.
This guy, he would have loved to have Michael Jackson sing.
Oh, no, actually. No, that would be too distracting.
Right at this time?
Yeah.
He'd be like, A, B, C? Like, easy as 1, 2, 3? No, that wouldn't have worked at all.
He was performing those songs in the 60s?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah, you're right. That would have been total out of... that would have been funny.
That would have been funny?
Yes. But let's get...
1970.
Okay, yeah. I was like, be a little bit young for that, but I wasn't entirely sure, so I was like, okay, let's go. It was close, you know, 3 years in the future. And he would have been singing ABC. But fortunately, he didn't. Fortunately, there was no Beatles. Fortunately, there was no Rhino. He ran into these buzzards when he was down, and they picked him up and instilled the value of...
Friendship. You've got a friend.
And his friends are the buzzards or turkey vultures or whatever the heck they are. The birds. And then...
Total quickly, contrast to the birds in Dumbo.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Not Jim Crow.
No, not exactly. But then Shere Khan comes out of nowhere and attacks Mowgli, and then Mowgli dies. And that was the Jungle Book.
No, Mowgli does not die.
Right, he's saved by Baloo, comes out of nowhere, literally.
And grabs Shere Khan's tail.
Yes, and then Baloo and the buzzards are able to distract Shere Khan to the point where...
They get fire, because it's lightning storm.
Yes.
And
Mowgli scares him away because Shere Khan is terrible with fire and... Man, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why he wants to kill man.
Right. And then, so he's like, yeah, you know, Mowgli's proud of what he did, and he's back with Baloo, and Bagheera at this point is kind of like, all right, whatever. I guess? Or maybe he is, like, shepherding him the whole time to the village. At any rate, they end up at this village, like, immediately, like, soon after that, right?
Right, and Mowgli's like, I don't know about... Yeah. And then he's like, what is that? Oh, let me take a look.
No, hold up. At this point, Mowgli is 110% behind the idea that he's going to become a bear.
No.
He is fully on board with this plan.
He is a bear.
Yeah. No. And so is Baloo. Baloo is like, dude.
He's equivalent to Simba.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have Bagheera and you have Baloo, who are equivalent to Timon and Simba. Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you have these three guys, and they are totally in that they're going to be these guys that roam the jungle.
Yeah, he has his 5-year plan set out for him.
Yeah.
And he knows at what stage he's going to be
a bear.
Yeah. Like, he's going to go through apprenticeship to Baloo, and he's going to be exactly like him and then become a pilot and run a successful shipping company.
How does he become a pilot? He is in this forest. I do not trust him becoming a pilot. How did he become a
pilot? He's just a very, has an entrepreneurial spirit, you know? Like, he saw that he could transform man, and then he learned from man. It's like, yeah, you know, it's the aftermath. Like, Mowgli hooked him up with the resources he needed to start his own company. He's like, yeah, you know, what's the one thing that I shouldn't be doing? Manning a small aircraft. And he took that challenge, you know? He's not one that says no to obstacles like that, you know, like having to be able to manipulate a yoke and purchase and maintain aircraft. So he really made the best out of a kind of a bizarre situation.
Yeah. Okay. Really weird. Sure. I'll go with
it. And then Mowgli runs into the girl and ruins everything.
Twitter-pated ruins everything.
Yes. What do you think about the girl?
Well, I was surprised that she sung an English song, considering it's set in India.
What? Are you saying she wouldn't know English?
Yes.
Why?
The way they portrayed her, she's a village girl. She would not know English.
She was very smart. That's why Mowgli was attracted to her.
Are you saying that you have to know English to be very smart?
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what you just said. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, it helps, right? Because she's bilingual. Bilingual people tend to be smart.
She did not show any...
So you're saying she didn't know any Indian languages?
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Well, maybe she was raised in like a British colony or something.
India was a British colony.
There you go. I don't see what your problem is.
Because not everyone knew English.
The monkeys were authentic. And so is the girl. Not everyone has to know English. She knows English. That's all that's important. All that's important is that Mowgli, this child who doesn't speak
English,
can communicate with this girl who doesn't speak. Well, we're not really sure what she's speaking.
She speaks English.
But the key is that they can communicate on some level. And that's why there's a lot of close-up and a lot of faces twitching and
eyes.
Extreme, kind of just like half-open mouths. They're communicating. Like, the song is kind of irrelevant, which is good because it's about her talking about her
wanting to marry a guy
and
so that she could become the wife in the house and her daughter can go get water.
Yeah.
Clearly, aspirations of all Indian women.
I'm not saying that. It's her aspirations. She wants to be a housewife. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Exactly. Nothing wrong. So are you saying I should find a nice Indian girl like that?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Got it. First, I got to find... be in the jungle.
I mean, you don't have to... it doesn't have to be an Indian girl. It doesn't have to be in the jungle. But, yeah, I mean, if you have the option, why the heck not?
Got it. So...
what do you think... like, her song, though... on some level, I kind of feel like she might be a little bit, something's a little off. Like, she might,
like what?
She seems, I guess that's kind of the point where she's supposed to be portrayed as kind of like seduced. Well, yeah, she is seducing him, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. It's like there's something else going on there. Like, she's like hypnotizing him.
So she's caught.
Yeah, I think that's actually what's
happening.
So you're
saying that women are exactly like Ka and
no,
are snakes?
No, only women in India who speak English that were raised in British colonies are like Ka.
So everyone in India.
Yes, everyone in India is like Ka.
So I'm like Ka.
I hate to break it to you, man. I mean...
love it. love it. I'm gonna totally cosplay as Mowgli.
As Ka? Good job.
Mowgli. I'm gonna cosplay as Mowgli. Can easily do this one. Embody that character.
Yeah. All you need is
a loincloth.
A loincloth, yes.
Yep. I have those.
And
that's it.
That's about
that's
it.
I'm set. Just it's a multifaceted cosplay because if I need to be, I can also go as Gandhi.
Oh, yeah.
I can go as many.
Very versatile.
I can always be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am skinny, so I'm good.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. I think it has to be done. I think you're the man who has to do it.
I've done Gandhi many times before.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Oh, yep. You're perfect.
I'm tall, lanky, and skinny. It works very well.
Excellent. So all we have to do now is get you into India.
Which I go to.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that outfit.
Yeah, I have done that.
And then after you've committed to becoming a bear.
Will I find a girl?
We'll find you. The perfect housewife who can speak very good English and aspires to become
a housewife.
A cook. Yes. I think you got it. You got it all worked out. I'm insanely jealous.
Yes. I have it all worked out, guys. So if you know anyone like that, just send me their names.
Yes.
And where they live.
And Do we actually have some place where they can send that to? Do we have like an email or something? We have Twitter, I guess, right?
We have Twitter.
So at 2G2ACWG2WAC.
No.
2GWAC. So at 2DG, at the whatever that thing I said before.
Again?
Before he's raised by Blue.
For it,
whatever that thing I said before.
Rewind.
And then he was raised by wolves. But fast. Send your suggestions to @2GW. See, now I know what the name is. I'm just tripping over myself. That's how bad
two
I've become. Two, the number two.
Yes.
Chew. Like I want to say chew. Now every word, I can't speak any word now. Chuji.
I can clearly say why you think the Indian girl is smart. She can speak.
Okay, chu.
Two.
Yeah, 2G.
W.
Chuji. W.
Not Chuji.
Two.
G.
Et. Send your... Just text him. Find his cell phone number and text him. It'll be way easier.
Oh, you
way
probably, faster. You can find me online. Just look for me.
In the meantime, if you want to send comments for the show, look us up on iTunes, because Catatonic Cat does not check it. Also, you can go to our website.
There's no comments on iTunes.
It's time to go to mars.com. We've never plugged this stuff, man. We got to plug it at some point, I feel like.
Yeah, we're plugging it now.
So yeah, we're doing it right now. Yeah. You can send your email to, I don't know, admin@...
No. Two guys without a clue at itstimetogotomars.com.
There you go. Freaking perfect. You're on the ball, man.
Yeah.
You can also call us at a toll-free number, 1-800. Actually, it's a cheap, we cheaped out. It's 1-866.
You mean 1-88?
Yeah. 1-888-418.
5555?
Is that your new number?
No, that's your new number.
Oh. Well, nobody bothered to tell me.
Because I changed your phone today.
So maybe you should just text Catatonic Cat directly. That seems to be the best.
I'm very popular. I work all the time, man. Like tonight, I was working.
Yeah. How's that going?
Work?
Yeah.
It's going well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. Sciencey stuff.
Science?
I do science. That's all I do.
Yeah. That sounds pretty sciencey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can explain to you what I do, but it'd be very boring.
Oh. Well, just make it interesting then.
I traverse and create.
And that's all the time we have for Two Guys Without a Clue. Thank you so much. Catatonic Cat, I've been Dragaru, and I don't know. What else do we want to say? You can actually talk about your job if you want.
I don't know. I was going to talk about this animation stuff.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Would you buy another cell? It's like we started off that I want to like kind of
would I buy
it.
Another cell?
Yeah. Silent. Speaks 1,000 words.
Now that I know what it takes, I don't know. Maybe
would you buy a more recent cell versus an older?
No, see
cell?
The thing is there. Well, like what's a more recent? Like this stuff doesn't exist anymore. Like nothing in the '90s.
No, you can't get
hand painted. Like so the thing they did start doing is because there were like you could get like serigraphs.
Yes,
and basically those are very high quality transparency prints. That actually, you know, it's not original art, right? It's just a it's a print because that doesn't exist in the physical form. Yes. It's digitally painted, or at least it was. But that has some appeal because, well, at least I would assume that material is like a billion times more stable and probably contains a lot less lead too. But I don't know. I mean, if it was the right cell, I might be persuaded to. Would I recommend it? No.
So an owl? If I got you a set of cells that are from all owls from Disney movies, would you like?
I would gladly take that off your hand. Absolutely.
Okay. I'll look into it. Also, if you have any owl cells, please send it to Greg.
I mean, I'll take them off your hand. Like, if you're just sitting on them, dude, what are you doing? Get them over here.
I will take a Bambi cell.
You will?
Yeah.
And I will also take $1 million.
Only $1 million?
Yeah, I don't really want to, you know, I don't need that much money.
$2 million?
Nah, that's just God.
$3 million? Seems reasonable.
I might be able to go with $3 million. Yeah. If you don't have $1 million, I'll take $3 million off you.
Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
But it's a very nice cell. We can describe it when we see the Fox and the Hound, which
it's Todd. The cell is of Todd as a cop.
No, we can describe where we see it in the movie.
Oh yeah.
Or at least where we think we see it in the movie.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of pausing. We're like, is that it? Is that it? No. Is
no,
that it?
No. Let's not do that. You know, the horrifying thing is if it wasn't in the movie at all and I just got ripped off, I would be.
So this is about three more movies in. So we're looking roughly would be the 24th.
Okay. So. Okay. Got a little bit of time.
We got some cool ones that's going A-okay. Forward.
Oh, you know, the one thing we didn't mention.
Yeah.
This is like one of the last, or maybe the last movie that Walt Disney was personally involved with.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's crazy because we listened to the documentary and basically Blue's movements were as Walt Disney.
Yeah. He was basically acting out. Did they say he was acting out the movements of the voice actor, or was he just doing his own stuff? Either way, it was kind of ridiculous to picture that they were using Walt just kind of pulling off those moves as a frame of reference.
You excited for the Aristocats?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Like cat movies?
Sure. Cats are okay. How do you feel about cats, Catatonic Cat?
Being a cat myself, I have a lot of insight into cats.
Are you a fan?
As a pet, no, I don't like cats.
No, you're not a cat
person? I don't
like
dogs, I don't like cats, I don't like birds, I don't like pets whatsoever.
You do like buzzards?
Oh, no.
What? Turkey vultures?
No.
No turkey vulture?
I would never have a
pet. What did the turkey vulture do to you?
Did nothing, which is great. That's what I want to keep it like.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you're not that excited about cats?
No.
Not that excited about Aristocats, then I take it?
No.
Because Aristocats is like a cat lover's
paradise.
Yeah, I was going to use a more terse word, but paradise is good. Yeah.
You were trying to use a cat word? You mean a catterdice?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. A catterdice.
That's a catterdice. There's Aristocats, it's catterdice.
Keep a G, yeah. But, I don't know. Aristocats, sure. I think it's fine. There's good music, right? Probably.
It's got some scat.
It's jazzy music.
It's got some jazz. Yeah, I love the jazz music. I want the jazz to continue. I need to bring the jazz back.
Yeah, totally. Cool.
Bring the jazz back. But
so I can't complain about that.
I'm looking forward to Robin.
I am also looking forward to Robin.
Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah.
More to come, and we're entering the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
The 70s, which seems to be coming back in music this nowadays.
It is fascinating.
No, like Robin Thicke's songs, kind of very 70s-ish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you sing me a few bars?
Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines?
That's the song.
Yeah, I'll let me hear it.
I can't sing.
From you. I don't want to hear from your iPad.
hey, that's the song right there.
Oh, okay, cool. No, see, if you start singing it, then later in post, I'll lay the track underneath it, and you'll sound amazing.
That never happened.
It always happens.
No.
Haven't you listened to the podcast?
No.
I've laid... All right.
No, I've listened to the podcast. You have laid, but then there are friends that say I should not sing.
Well, those friends are...
Not friends?
Not friends.
Yeah. Right. And then there's a Treasure song. I don't know who by, but I hear it on the radio all the time. So break out your bell bottoms and we'll dance our way into the 70s. We have the Aristocats that kick off the 70s. We end the 70s with a... Actually, a really interesting The Rescuers.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Then surprisingly, we go really fast into the 80s. So, I mean, look, it took us 19 movies to get from 19... what is it? What are we looking at? 1937?
Yeah.
To 1970.
Wow.
It's a lot of movies.
Yeah, they were just packing them in.
Right? But then we can easily go from 1970 to 1990 in 9 movies. 20 years in 9 movies.
Uh-huh.
And we went roughly 30 years, almost close to 20 movies.
Yeah. That's crazy. Insane.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
Insane in the membrane.
It is. The Beastie.
All right. We will... Pain in the Membrane is not boys.
Who is it? Is it Akon?
Oh. Akon? Where?
That's a name I've heard before.
Did you know Akon sings an Indian song?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I'll pull this up for you. I think it's worth for you to see.
Of him singing an Indian song?
Yeah.
Is it in English?
No, it's in Hindi.
But we've established that Indians speak English.
Yes, they do. He does speak some English.
Yes, they do. He does speak some English.
Well, that's good.
Really? I did not know that.
Akon is a singer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a strike guy.
Yeah. Let me
pull it up here. You know, he sings that one song, Insane in the Membrane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not him. He sings Lonely.
Oh.
That was my roommate's alarm clock freshman year. It was so annoying.
I know this song.
Oh, did you see the...
that was Akon?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
He's did like you a see real... the Google front page?
The Google Doodle? No.
Yesterday. Look at it. You'll love it. It harkens back to an actual Disney movie we watched.
No.
Back in the package film era.
What?
The composer of Clair de Lune.
Oh, it's gone.
What?
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the song that Akon sang.
Hey.
That's Akon.
It is?
No.
She's whiter than I thought he would be.
You mean he's brown? That's Akon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is this for? This is like a song?
This is an Indian movie.
Did you see it?
No.
Why not?
Oh, it's actually a superhero movie.
What?
Yeah.
You gotta see this.
Oh, yeah. The premise of this movie, it actually has a third movie coming out soon. The premise is kind of crazy. So this computer programmer creates a liking image of himself as a hero to impress his son, but then the guy dies in a car accident, and the original guy, the computer programmer guy, dies in a car accident, and the supervillain from the computer program and the game comes out in life, and then the hero comes out and pretends it was crazy.
That sounds awesome. Why haven't you seen this?
I don't know. You want to go see it?
Yeah, let's go now.
I think it's probably on Netflix.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're skipping the Aristocats because we've established neither of us are really cat people. And we're going to watch whatever this Akon movie is.
It's called Raw One.
Raw One. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, I think that ends it as we have to go see a movie now.
All right. Yep.
Aristocats next week.
Stay tuned.
Dun, 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 dun.
And the Robin Hood after that.
Dun, dun.
And then there's probably another movie after that.
Dun, dun.
But maybe not. We'll see.
All right. Good night. Have a good weekend.
Good night.
Adios.